Blog Talk Radio.
Take a Run Productions.
Welcome to Unknown Paranormal Radio. I am your host, Kevin of Unknown Paranormal.
This is Martin of Bravo Paranormal.
And this is Jeff from Unknown Paranormal. Is there some kind of game on today?
Yes, it would be the Super Bowl, and I'm kind of disappointed in Jeff because Jeff, of all people, every time there's some kind of a national event or national holiday that falls on a Saturday or a Sunday or close to our radio show, normally Jeff comes up with these very unique intros for those events. And if I remember correctly, last year he actually did a Super Bowl introduction. And Jeff, over the course of a year, has now become sour, and he couldn't even give us a special Super Bowl introduction song intro this week. So I don't know, guys. He's kind of getting bitter in his old age.
Well, I'm starting a new thing, in that everything that society says I'm supposed to like, or I'm supposed to watch or be a part of or something, if I don't see the reason to, I'm not going to do it. That's my new thing.
Yeah, but don't let our show suffer because of it, Jeff.
Well,
we have a lot of listeners that like the Super Bowl, so a great Super Bowl intro song would have been great for them. Maybe not for you, but we are here for the listeners.
Well, this is true.
So there you go, guys. So now we got to wait another year for Jeff to even make a Super Bowl intro, because he had a pretty cool one last year, if I remember correctly.
Mm-hmm.
It was pretty cool. But no, Jeff's sour and bitter this year, so bah humbug, no intro. But for everybody watching the Super Bowl, I guess they didn't pay their power bill. Half the lights in the stadium went off, and they're just now getting ready to... They're just now getting ready to resume the game. Or you could call it lights out football, because it was after the record-setting 109-yard kickoff return for a touchdown, and then the lights went out in half the building. So, yeah, they're just now getting power back over there in New Orleans. So I guess somebody decided to put the electric bill on the credit card.
Oh, man.
That just made my night.
Oh, God. That's horrible.
Now, you see, had it been in an outdoor stadium,
whoa,
probably wouldn't have happened.
Wow. I don't know who he's talking to. I got to turn the sound on for a minute, guys.
Uh-oh.
He just told some dude, some guy in a suit, to go F himself. So I don't know who he's talking to.
Who told him that?
But John Harbaugh is pretty pissed. It's been 27 minutes of the power outage, and I don't know who he's talking to. Maybe the guy, part of the stadium officials. But, yeah, he just told him to go F himself. I read his lips pretty clear on that one.
It was probably Roger Goodell.
Why do
people want to
tell
him that?
Yeah. So
anyway,
we're on a light delay, everyone. So hopefully you tuned in to the show while you're waiting for play to resume the Super Bowl. I guess that goes back to what Jeff always says. That's why we should play outdoors and not an indoor stadium.
Thank you. That's exactly what we're supposed to be doing. It's where football's meant to be played.
Anyway,
if you would go back in time and find Y.A. Tittle and tell him that one day the championship game is going to be played indoors, he would probably slap you right in the face.
Well, it's being played indoors, and yeah. But anyway, last week we were supposed to have Sasha Hayden on the show out of Alaska. An emergency came up, and Sasha was unable to come on the show. And so we rebooked her for tonight. So she'll be on the show tonight, and she's feeling a lot better.
Good.
So we'll be able to talk to her tonight. And we'll talk about her bio a little bit later when it's time for her to call in. Trying to think what's been going on. I know Unknown Paranormal, we got an investigation this Saturday, Hotel Marshall in Marshall, Texas. It was one of the buildings we had at our conference, and probably we'll have again for the conference this year.
Is it going to be broadcast? Is it going to be on Ustream?
I don't know if we're going to Ustream it. I'm kind of iffy on the Ustream, but I'm kind of almost thinking of maybe cranking up a radio show that night.
Well, we can do that, too. What about Justin.tv?
Huh?
Justin.tv is a streaming site much like Ustream.
Well, it's not what site we use. It's a matter of it's been almost a year since we've Ustreamed something with our equipment.
Mm-hmm.
So it would have to come down to me and Dad being able to get it all back up and running in time for Saturday.
Oh, okay.
And I don't know if I want to fart with all that. I might just do a live broadcast, radio broadcast, because some of the radio broadcasts that we've done in the past have been pretty cool, involving, you know, Martin and yourself doing EVPs through the radio show and asking questions. And I know, Martin, that when we were at Smackover, we were trying to, on the radio show, to get the whatever was in the room with us to light up our K2, and it actually lit up some of your equipment at your house.
Yeah, it did, man. That was pretty cool. That was a pretty fun night.
Yeah. So, we could do a live broadcast if one or two of you guys were up for the task, but we'll talk about that off air and see what y'all think. But yeah, we do have that coming up. If we can get it up on Ustream, if we decide to, then I'll post it on our website and everywhere else to make an announcement. But that's all we got going on this Saturday. It's us trying to crank up our 2013 season. And of course, March 23rd is coming up. You know, Martin's going to be there. Unknown Paranormal will be there. Jeff will not, because he'll be right smack in the middle of UILY at play season. But
it'll be open like 2 days later.
But it's okay, because I'll have a hot tub there for myself, for people to get in the hot tub with me instead of Jeff.
Oh, no. Uh-uh.
But that is March 23rd. It's the Para Unity Conference, and I got to upload. I'm going to have to do this after the show. I forgot today, but I do have a commercial that will be able to start playing on the show to promote that event. It's the second annual Texas Para Unity Conference, and it's all proceeds go to breast cancer awareness, and there's going to be a lot of folks there. Unknown Paranormal is going to be putting on a class headed up by myself, and I know Mike is going to do a debate with Anthony Cepeda, spirituality versus scientific, and lots of other things going on at that event. Unknown Paranormal and Fort Worth Paranormal, we're going to be putting on the investigations that night. Different locations around Wachahatchee, Texas. So, great event. And I believe April 6th is the History, Haunts, and Legends in Jefferson, Texas. We will be coming to that. And May, we're going to be going back to one of the places that had some crazy activity for us. We're going to go with our past back to the old Arkansas Sanatorium, the 10-story tuberculosis sanatorium. So that is going to be awesome.
That's going to be crazy.
Well, last night I watched an investigation on Ustream that was actually it was a location right here in Gatesville. And we were kind of talking about this before we went on the air tonight. There's an episode of My Ghost Story that aired back in the summertime, and it featured a house here in Gatesville and the Pride House in Jefferson. And I didn't know this until last night, but I actually know the folks that live here. Well, I know them through Facebook, the folks that own the house in Gatesville. And I didn't know it until I heard them talking about it during the investigation last night. Rip Crew came down and investigated it. And they've been here several times. They've been in this place several times, actually.
Mm-hmm.
So that was kind of fun.
Well, I will say this. One other thing before we go into our guest tonight's bio. You know, a couple of weeks ago, guys, we had Stacey Simmons-White on our show, and we had some rather rude people that tried to call in and pretend like they had paranormal problems.
Well, yeah.
I really would like to say thank you to all those people, because us here at Unknown Paranormal Radio, not the network, the radio on Sunday, we set the single night record for live listeners. We had 177 live listeners of that episode.
Yeah.
And that deserves this right here.
Thank you, folks. Thank you.
But yeah. I just wanted to throw that little tidbit of information out there, you know, controversy and little practical jokers. That's all right. We got a lot of listeners. So we always try to have great shows. Tonight, do you have the bio, Mr. Jeff, for tonight's guest?
I do. Tonight, our guest is Sasha Hayden, and she studied the paranormal since she was 13 and been investigating it now for almost 2 years. She's been bullied her entire life, and so she started the Paranormal Community Against Bullying to help stand up to bullying. Education on what bullying really is in the paranormal field and out of it, you know, with kids and adults and to empower those who are being bullied is Sasha's goal in starting up this organization through activities in schools and out of schools. And that
is, oh, yeah.
Sasha.
And she's out of Alaska. We've never had anybody on the show from Alaska, so that'll be cool as well.
I believe
she's on the line, is she not?
Somebody's on the line.
I am.
Hello.
How's it going?
Good. Yourself?
Not too bad.
Doing great. Do it all.
Well, Sasha, thanks for coming on the show. I'm glad you're feeling better after last weekend.
Yeah, that's never happened before a radio show, and I really, really apologize. I had a health issue that kicked in the night before, and it got really, really bad.
Yeah. Well, we may do, and we're glad you're feeling a lot better, and we got you tonight, so all is good.
Thank you.
So tell us a little bit about yourself for folks out there that don't know anything about you, how you got started in the paranormal and how you started this organization against bullying.
Well, I originally got into the paranormal because I had experiences since I was younger, both psychic gifts and seeing entities. And my family kind of just said, oh, it's just coincidence or, you know, you're just seeing things. Because I was younger, which is, you know, understandable. And it's kind of a big no-no to talk about that stuff when I was younger. So I actually used the paranormal to be able to cope with what was going on. One of my friends a few years later said, well, you know, maybe you saw a ghost. So I checked into it, and from there I got hooked, and that's what I used to cope. You know? And the bullying thing, I don't know if you guys can tell, but I actually have a lisp. So I was actually teased quite a bit because I was a goody two-shoes. You know, you look at me cross-eyed, or, you know, and I go tell the teacher, probably a little overboard, but so with the lisp, with the combo of being in a small town where you were a goody two-shoes, you know, it was more or less, I didn't have any other avenues than to be the one that was picked on.
Right.
So, you know, it just, you're always told, oh, when you get out of high school, it'll be better. Oh, when you get out of high school, it'll be better. When I got out of high school, it wasn't any better. So then I joined the paranormal field, and that's when I realized it was, like, worse in high school and worse in school in general. So I ended up getting removed from a group because I actually stood up to some of the admins, and I was an admin as well. And I decided at that point, I think it was a month before I actually got banned from it, that I was going to start a group, and then I really did start it when I did get banned.
Right.
So from there, I've been trying to stop bullying. So.
Well.
Mm. It's a shame that bullying. I mean, first of all, it's bad that it exists at all, and second of all,
right. It's
even worse that grown people would participate
right.
in something like that, and that I'm an educator.
Right.
I've been an educator for 12 years, and of course, you know, we see this from time to time in schools. And you don't think about it, you know, after school, you know, outside of school.
Right.
Once you get in, you know, into the workforce and stuff, but it's still there.
Uh-huh.
It's still there. It's just as adults, people become, you know, not only do the people that have been bullied become smarter, the bullies become smarter too.
Yes.
Oh yeah.
They know how to they become a little more subtle in some of their tactics.
Absolutely. They've actually had to come out, you know, as time goes on, you know, we've got cell phones now and stuff like that. You know,
mm-hmm.
even bullying had to come out with their own category for cyberbullying.
Yep.
So it's constantly changing because people evolve, adults change, even kids, and they use new techniques in order to bend the rules to be able to hurt somebody without breaking laws and being called a bully.
But what they don't realize, though, is that even bullying is another form of threatening, which is illegal.
Exactly. Absolutely. And if you are affecting people mentally, you know, you can be sued for that, too. You know, granted, I'm not telling people to, oh, somebody look at you cross-eyed, go run to a lawyer. But they don't realize the trauma. You know, I've got my mental disabilities because I was bullied for my entire life. So it causes traumatic repercussions that people don't think of just because they don't like something somebody said or they don't like the way that somebody talks or looks.
Right. And it's
oh, definitely. And, you know, with the age of technology now and Facebook and Twitter and all these other places that you can go and, you know, basically put your thoughts out there for everybody to read. Especially in the, you know, and it's not just the paranormal community, but we know the paranormal community, obviously, because we're all in it.
Right.
But, you know, this is a place for people to say cruel things about one another, to talk about teens, put down folks. And, you know, and the thing about it being on the internet, you know, these folks that could be attacking other people in the field may have been victims of bullying themselves when they were in school. And it's a little bit easier if you were picked on and you want to all of a sudden be the one to pick on somebody else because it'll make you feel empowered the internet's an easy way of doing it because you're not face to face with that person.
Right.
Absolutely. And, you know, I got bullied for opening an anti-bullying group. It's that bad. So, you know, and one thing that I do want to stress to people that are like, oh, you know, you just want to hand out tissues to those who, you know, don't want to hear the truth about their evidence. No, I mean, I'm on the fence about parunity myself. I think people need to work together, period. I mean, you need to get over all the fighting. Mm-hmm. But some teams don't have good ethics and stuff like that. But if somebody posts something and you're saying it in a polite manner, going, you know, hey, I think it's a guy holding a sign that says boo. I don't think it's a ghost.
Right.
Then, you know, that's one thing. Now, if you sit there and go, you're a loser because you didn't do your research, you're an idiot because of this and that, that's not okay. You know, depending on what way you relay that message. And that's what I'm trying to relay to people, that, you know, I'm not telling people not to speak their mind or anything like that, but there's a proper way to do it without, you know, being a bully.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I talked about this before on other shows. I remember one time I posted a picture that we had taken at a location in Marshall. And
I know this one.
Yeah, and I just wanted an opinion, and I actually worded it. I said, you know, on the caption, I said, hey, take a look at this picture and see if you see anything in the photograph that may or may not be unexplained, whatever, you know. I didn't say it was evidence. I didn't say there was a ghost in the picture. I didn't say any of that in my wording.
Nope.
And I was getting comments like, well, all I see is a bunch of damn dust, or I see a bunch of crappy orbs. Why the hell would you post that as evidence? Blah, 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 blah. And that wasn't, if they'd read the caption the way I put it, it was, hey, I need your opinions on the photographs. Tell me if you see something odd in it or not. You know,
right.
Not saying, oh, this is evidence, guys. This is paranormal. I took a picture of. And basically it was two orbs that were weird in the sense that they were stacked on each other, and it formed it looked like a head with shoulders sitting in a seat in the theater in the photograph. You know, and I was taking it either way. I was like, well, you know, pretty much it's going to have to be thrown out as evidence, but I want to see what other people's thoughts are on it. So I, ever since that, I stopped doing that because people don't, like you said, they don't word it. They want to all of a sudden jump on your butt about something that all you're wanting is help to move further in the field, and they just want to sit there and saying hateful things to you.
Yep.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Right. Right. And, you know, when I went in the field, I was naive. I mean, you read a whole bunch of books and you think you're all set to investigate. Obviously.
Yeah.
I learned the hard way, not so much. Now, I did pretty good. I did more. I made sure before I went in that I had the right outlook. And, you know, for teams that normally go in, I was told that I had above standard. You know, within months I had mass load of forms and everything like that, but, you know, until you actually do it, you're not prepared. But, you know, I was lucky, and when I first started networking, because I was from Alaska and people needed people from Alaska, I got treated very well. So for the most part, I got the help that I needed to fill in those gaps that I didn't have before. And, you know, it was obviously very easy to teach me because I had been researching so long. But, you know, if I hadn't gained so much respect so quick just because I was from another state, then I would have been bullied easy, you know. And as soon as I started making my presence known and standing up, that's when I started getting bullied again too. And that's why my team doesn't even post evidence on there, because we just don't feel the need to expose our evidence that's supposed to be confidential anyway on our team. And then to be bullied and have people see that, and then have my team go through a bunch of hard work to be trashed. And it would make more sense for people to spend the time that they're saying that were being amateur that were not learning, for them to actually use it towards paranormal, to actually try and prove something, than to attack people. I think that, I don't know if that came out right. My brain brained them out, then I don't know if it worked.
But yeah, I kind of learned my lesson as far as posting stuff online as well. I mean, it's hard because you get so excited about, you know, say you catch a shadow person or, you know, whatever you catch, but you get excited about it and then you want to share it with the people, and then right away there becomes like this jealousy factor, and the people that ultimately bully you are the ones that are, you know, jealous because they haven't caught something like that. And I'm not saying every instance is jealousy, but you can tell right away which ones are.
Right. Yeah, our first case of my team being bullied was a local team. They were supposed to be working with us, and they didn't. So, yeah, I totally get that. And then the other ones are skeptics that don't believe in anything, that anything that anybody touches is evidence anyway. So they spend their time going around calling people frauds. And that could be used, that effort could be used in a much more sensible manner in the paranormal field than attacking teams.
Yeah. Oh, one thing I really dislike about the whole bullying thing is a lot of times the bully groups, you'll see them on Facebook, but a lot of the bully groups won't even name the person that they're bullying. They just, you know, post their names and start talking about how bad of a person they are. This person does never know, you know. And it's not until one of their friends sees it, and they're like, hey, you know, somebody's talking crap about you over on the stage. So it's pretty bad, but I try to defend people when I can.
Yeah, and, you know, what was it? I have a disability, so sometimes, obviously, my brain to mouth doesn't work, but neither does my brain to fingers. And I don't have people at my disposal to proofread everything. So because I wasn't able to figure out how to change the description of one of my online fundraisers, I got trashed for it just because the math is supposedly that wrong. But yeah, I just wish that we could use our time to actually prove stuff in the paranormal field and work together with teams that you want to work with and just not associate with teams you don't want to. Then to take the effort and,
And I mean, that's another thing. Just like, if you dislike that person so bad, why don't you just disassociate yourself from that group, you know, and not even worry about it. Just don't even spend the time and energy on it. Just move on and go investigate. That's what this is about anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah, it's almost like, you know, nowadays we have to, just like anything in life, basically, you got to pick your friends and pick your enemies, I guess, because you got to associate with the same kind-minded people in the field and kind of stick together with them and just try to stray away from the negative ones that are out there.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
And that's what I'm hoping to do. I actually have PCB has awards banquets to actually try to encourage local people as well as paranormal people to help stop bullying. And so that's our goal.
Nice.
So, and hoping to go into schools, because if we can stop it while it's in school, then hopefully it'll be better. And PCAB doesn't expect fuzzy rainbows and Skittles and, you know.
Yeah, and, you know.
Being around in Kumbaya.
And I'm glad that there's more awareness being brought to the whole bullying scenario, because, of course, I'm a lot older. Yes, I'm old, Jeff.
How old are you, Kevin?
When I was in school, Jeff's only a year behind me, so he's old too.
Shuddy.
When we were in school, I remember, you know, back in the 80s when, you know, elementary and junior high, there wasn't any awareness to bullying, and, you know, kids were cruel. I know the one school that I went to back then, your friends were decided on your parents' income. And there was a lot of people I went to school with in that school district that their parents were doctors or lawyers. They had a lot of money. And my dad worked for the phone company, so we were just a, you know, Joe Smo middle class type family. And, you know, it was hard on my family because I would come home and say, hey, I have to have this kind of shirt and these kind of shoes so that I can fit in with the people I want to be friends with, you know. And it was just horrible, you know. And then I went to the school that Jeff and I met at, it was a little bit different there. And for the most part, I remember my last 2 years of high school, I didn't have any of those kind of problems because it seemed like there they just were more open to people being, you know, people were friendlier. Sad to say, Jeff, but Dangerfield was a lot friendlier than the school I came from.
Not for me, it wasn't.
Well, I know. So, you know, that was just my take being in high school, but I know it's everywhere because I even taught at that high school later. And to see some of the stuff that some of these kids go through, and, you know, Jeff and I, we deal with a lot of that because of the fact of the subject that we teach, theater arts. And I know the kids that I had that are in theater, you know, they got bullied all the time, you know. Oh, that's a queer thing to do, not to offend anybody out there, but that's what they would say, those kind of comments. And, you know, it takes its toll on somebody when they're young to develop, you know, because you can't really enjoy your young years because of all the emotions that you have to go through and dread, you know. I know when I was getting bullied, Friday I was happy because I got a break from it, and then I always dreaded Monday because I had to go back and deal with it again.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, a lot of people, a lot of the bullies just don't realize or care what they can do to people, and that's what we're hoping to do is raise awareness for the stuff that bullies can cause. We're hoping to raise money for a relief fund for people that, you know, have medical bills from bullying, because people do get the snot beat out of them for bullying, and some end up extremely suicidal. And I'm hoping to also do a relief fund to be able to help out at least a little bit with some of that cost that may accrue for that. And we also hope to raise on what bullying is so that people don't mistake in, oh, they said they didn't like me and that's bullying. So because I have seen a lot of people, especially since I've started PCAV, that say, oh, you need to come to this page, they're bullying this person, or, you know, I got bullied here. And it's not that I don't want to help or anything like that, but they weren't bullied. And it's hard to explain to them what exactly bullying is. Mm-hmm. And so we're hoping to do that as well.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And, you know, I've gotten on my soapbox before on the shows, and I've told folks that are listening, you know, if you would, all that energy that you put into hurting somebody in the field and trying to belittle a team or whatever the case, whatever your purpose is, if you took some of that energy that you're putting for sitting in front of that computer and doing all those hateful things, you put that energy towards our field and research and develop new ideas and all that, this field would move forward. But with a lot of the folks that do these type of things, they don't realize they're hurting the field as a whole because they give it a black eye and they stop a lot of these teams or these individual paranormal investigators from furthering their ideas because they're having to deal with this crap all the time.
Oh, yeah.
Right. Yeah, I've just in the last 2 months, I've had 6 friends leave the field just in the last 2 months because of this. And two that almost left. And of the stuff that I did see, they didn't deserve it. And it was just that. And exactly like you said, we would probably have been able to prove something by now or come up with new equipment or new theories by now. Somebody on my team is actually trying to do a research project on a subject in the paranormal field that she wants to write a book about, and she can't find any information on it because nobody's touched that area. And the paranormal field has been around for a long time. And, you know, if people would spend more time actually focusing on the field instead of who's in it, because you're always going to have people that don't have ethics. You're always going to have people that are not very good at their job. It doesn't matter what job you have, whether it's a paranormal field or whether it's a doctor or whatever. And the people that actually focus on their goals are going to succeed a lot more than trying to find frauds or take the effort to put hate on the people that they don't like.
Right, right.
Yeah. What's the topic she's trying to find information about?
Shadow people, actually, but not the, you know, not the quick kind that you just kind of glance out of the corner of your eye where you think you see something but you don't. Not that kind. I mean, she wants information on that too, but actual shadow people. She feels that there are actual entities and that she has found some reports of entities that appear as shadow people, but in a different manner than what is typical. So she's trying to research that, and she thinks that they might actually be from another dimension or whatnot. Now, that part's just a theory, but she knows that she feels that they're a completely separate entity than what most people think they are. So right now she's trying to gather reports of any type of basically shadow person phenomenon, whether it is the type that crosses the eyes, because she wants to establish patterns. She wants to see if there's any typical behavior and what kind of equipment may or may not be successful in trying to gather information on this as well.
I know DAS, the guy who made the mail meter, he has a device out that it's a shadow detector. You might want to check.
Yeah, I did not know about that one.
Yeah, yeah. You can go to I think it's DASdistribution.com. But he actually makes a few different things. The spirit box, he has a couple different. What he likes to do is like make a couple different versions of all his stuff. But one of the versions of his mill meter has a shadow detector in it. And basically what it does is it takes the frequency of light, you know, like you can put a flashlight around a corner and then place this mill meter that has a shadow detector on the other side of the corner. And if the light fluctuates, you know, any little bit because a shadow passed in front of it, the mill meter will go off.
So, okay.
It can help you out with the research, you know.
Yeah, definitely, because we're at the stage where we're actually building our own equipment, but also getting some new stuff, too.
Oh, cool, cool. And then, if you really want to see shadow people, the one place I would suggest is Old South Pittsburgh Hospital. I mean,
we're hoping the fundraisers are successful so that we can travel.
Yeah, for sure. I know. I mean, there's a lot of places all over the world that's going to have it, but I think for me, that was when it was most noticeable.
Yeah, and that's the nice thing about Alaska, too, is that paranormally it's pretty untouched. So we've got a lot of stuff up here, too. And we're just trying to find those spots that will let you come in regularly.
Oh, yeah. That was another question I was going to bring up tonight, is I know there's places in Alaska that you pretty much have to drive the size of Texas, or there's places that you have to fly in and fly out, right?
We don't drive the size of Texas, maybe on a daily basis, because, you know, you guys are half the size.
Yeah, right.
But, I had to throw that in there. It's something that we do that all the time to Texas people. We tease you all the time. You guys have to have number one star, and we're letting you have that just because we know we're number one, but we have to make you guys better.
Right.
Okay.
I was going to say, the whole argument we even have about that is like, you're not part of the lower 48, so it's not official.
This is true. You know, that is a valid point. We don't get treated like it either. But as far as locations, yeah, there's several locations that we have to fly into if we want to get into them, and those are just going to towns. I mean, for the most part, we stay locally. You know, we can drive to most places and stuff like that, but yeah, it's not uncommon for us to take a 3-hour road trip and or fly to a really small town. Like, I grew up on a town on an actual island that has 17 miles of road, period.
Oh, wow.
The main highway is 17 miles. And the only way you can get off is by flying or by ferry.
Wow.
8,000 people. So we have like 5 or 6. Well, no. We might have a dozen larger towns, maybe like villages to you guys. And then the rest of them are like towns that have like 300 to maybe 1,000 people. So we don't have police out there. We have volunteer police in some of these villages. And, you know, we even have towns that are dry. And, you know, alcohol will be several hundred dollars just for, you know, a pint, or yeah, a fifth, I guess. So yeah, it's really ridiculous. And then with crypto, you have to carry a gun with you at all times, and we're not talking a rifle, we're talking a big gun, because you've got bears out in your backyard on a regular basis.
Yeah.
Here. We have moose go through our drive-thrus. I'm dead serious. You look it up, and there is actually a picture at Providence Hospital in Anchorage, Alaska, of a moose in the emergency room. And then we also have pictures of a moose in McDonald's drive-thru and liquor store drive-thrus. Yeah, it's quite common here. My husband had his hat chewed off by a moose, too.
Wow. Now, I know I work in property preservation, and we have a few people. Well, actually, I think it's like one person from Alaska, and he's always sending us photos of what we would deem as crazy, like, you know, like a bear just hanging out in somebody's front yard, or we see some pretty cool stuff. And then I think this guy one day, he actually got locked in his car because a bear kept trying to attack him. He had to wait in there for
a
while.
Oh, Lord, uh-uh.
Yep. I went camping.
Second one out.
I went camping out on an island, and, I don't really call it camping because it was in a log cabin. If I'm not in a tent, then it's not really camping to me. But we were out the cabin, and when we got there, they set off the normal seal bombs to make that loud noise to keep them away. We kept the fire going to help keep it away. We did everything that was supposed to do with food. On the last day before we leave, you actually hear gunshots because the bear actually came into our camp because we started relaxing just a tad. Just, you know, on the last day, you start packing up and you're tired and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Sure enough, Mom and a cup came in. But, it's also well known that you don't leave your dogs outside during the summer.
Oh, wow.
The dogs will either, A, get eaten because they're running away and the bear thinks they're food, or they'll try to protect their family and the bear will kill them. So, yeah, people do, but for the most part, the quote-unquote native Alaskans, ones that are here for a long extended period of time, or actual native Alaskans, will know better than to leave their dogs out during the summer.
But
they actually have eagles come down and pick up toy dogs, too.
Oh, man. Oh, that's crazy.
Yeah.
Wow. I couldn't imagine an ego picking up a chihuahua, you know, the Taco Bell chihuahua, and it's saying, yo, Tequila Taco Bell, as it's flying away with the eagle.
Oh, man, no, dude.
Yeah.
It wouldn't pick up a chihuahua. Chihuahuas are gangster. They're punching the eagle in the face.
But, yeah, and I've never actually seen it done, but I've knew somebody who was walking their dog, and they were newish to Alaska, and they were just walking down the street, and the eagle literally just flew right by him and picked the dog up. And they dropped the dog. The dog was okay and everything like that, aside from being traumatized. But, yeah, it was pretty – I totally didn't believe it. But, yeah, supposedly that's the story, and I've heard of it happening before. So, yeah.
Wow.
But it's really rugged here. And
okay, I was going to look into moving to Alaska, but now you've talked me out of it. Not going to happen.
I totally would if it wasn't for the fact that anything less than 50 degrees would kill me.
During the summer, it's much higher than 50 degrees. We can get up to 80 to – usually it's in the 70s, but certain months it can get up to 80 to 100.
Now,
wow.
Are you located so far north that y'all have like the – was it 60 days of summer or 60 days of sunshine? And I know.
I knew that was going to get asked. 30 days of night like the vampire movie.
Right.
We do have short winters. Like right now, the sun is set and it's only 5:45.
Yeah.
But during summer, and that's actually, what was it, December-ish, the sun
mm-hmm.
was setting at like 2 p.m. after after the sunrise was at like 10 in the morning.
Wow.
It's pretty, yeah, it is true. It's not a myth. And during the summer, we do have 24 hours of sunlight. That's why the nickname for Alaska is Land of the Midnight Sun.
Nice.
Yep.
Now, but you guys could get some like really cool Milky Way photography up there during the wintertime as well. So
Milky Way and Northern Lights, yeah.
Yeah, I'm a little jealous of that.
Yeah, it's really nice. You get to see it here on a regular basis. I think we had it Northern Lights quite a bit this year because it was so cold. I'm still.
Yeah, that. I think this past year we had like three class 10 solar flares come through. So there's
right.
There's a lot of ion activity going on.
Right, yeah. This year was a really cold winter, and as well as the definitely the solar flare stuff. I mean, last year was nuts for quite a bit of celestial type stuff.
That actually brings up another question, because you're located in a location where ion does play a factor. Have you noticed an increase of paranormal activity during, like, say, an ion storm or maybe an aurora borealis, or is it kind of just pass and go?
We are actually doing official research on that. We write down, we're actually filling out forms where we write down obviously the moon phases, the weather,
mm-hmm.
but we are starting to write down the percentage of northern lights and stuff like that. That was our team generally, because I can't speak for everybody, but generally feels that yes, that there, because there is such a high ionic field and electricity and stuff like that from everything, that there is a serious increase in paranormal activity. And we've noticed that this winter to where there was a lot more activity than what we thought.
Because, you know, down here, we're pretty close to the equator, you know. But
right.
For one of the big things for investigators down here is to run an ion generator, you know, while you're investigating. But for you guys, it's almost, you know, it's not a necessity because you're in a location where the Earth gets pounded by ions all the time, you know.
Right.
So, I mean,
yeah, and
cool.
We have an EM pump.
Oh, cool, cool.
Yeah, we don't use it very often, but we do have it, and we've actually lucked out because we are picky about the cases that our team does take, that we have a high percentage, a higher percentage of being able to catch stuff. And with Alaska being so old, undeveloped,
yeah,
and everything like that, along with, you know, the ion, so it's basically a great area to be able to catch stuff.
Now, have you guys been able to do any, like, investigating on, like, say, like, you know, tribes like the Inuit and stuff like that, or is it mostly, like, residential?
Actually, I have a team member that is actually Eskimo. typically, any true Alaskan will try to really respect that,
mm-hmm.
their land and stuff like that. We are trying to find elders that will allow us to, but it's not something that we're trying to be very respectful about, because there's stories, and that's what's great about Alaska, is there's stories here that they won't tell you, and they will keep secret and stuff like that, but they believe in these stories so much that's part of who they are. And so
mm-hmm.
we literally have to take some of those stories into serious, especially with the cryptozoology. And so when we do get reports from natives, you know, we always look up the culture, we look up the behavior, and that's where we get some of our facts. Now, granted, we still look up the scientific stuff, mind you, but we don't get to go into the tribe stuff very often, especially with the area that we're in. It's a large, we live in the largest town in Alaska, so we don't get a chance to do some of the outlying stuff. But I grew up in a native town, mostly native town. So, yeah, and so it's nice, and I'm working with a team up in Nome, Alaska. So I'm going to see about working with them, too.
I think, I was telling you that we do property preservation, but I think that's where our rep is from. He's from Nome, Alaska.
Very cool.
Yeah, that's
very
cool.
Yes,
yeah,
I will only go there during the summer.
He's got to fly in and out, like, all the time. But he was like, hey, man, you ever come up to Alaska, you got a place to stay. I was like, that's what I'm talking about. I want to go up there and, like, check out the mountain range and get some, you know, really good photography while I'm out there. But what's stopping me.
We live in a really good area for that. I would suggest Sitka, Alaska as well.
Mm-hmm.
That's the town that I grew up in, and supposedly, you know, obviously probably Sitkans are biased, but supposedly it was actually listed one of the prettiest places in Alaska.
Oh, nice.
So, I was pretty spoiled growing up, aside from the bullying, but So we're holding a convention. We're actually hoping that some of the appeal for the people in the lower 48 is that Alaska is untouched and it's really pretty.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And then let's see. I have a bunch of questions because I don't know anybody from Alaska. So.
right.
Let's see. I don't know. I'll think of it as we go along. I'll let Kevin or Jeff jump in real quick.
What are some of the locations or more haunted locations that you've been to in Alaska?
The public places would be definitely the Anchorage Hotel, where I'm trying to get the I'm actually arranging with them to actually have an investigation there for our convention. But we have not walked out without something. Every time that we've gone there, we've never walked out. And we're not talking like the noise EVPs. We're talking actual EVPs. And we've gotten a funny photo there, which started, it was prolonged exposure, so obviously we can't say it's evidence or anything like that. But it's caused a chain reaction for another team member to want to play with prolonged exposure. So it's been a really good source. And then there's the Wendy Williamson Auditorium. It's on the college campus here. And we caught that place was a gold mine in itself. And then some of the gold mines here, too. We have a lot of gold mines here.
You know, one thing I will say about prolonged exposure is this kind of like this area, because I'm real big into photography, but prolonged exposure is actually just recently got my attention, because I have been working, you know, a few different cases, but one of the cases I went to was a plane crash, right? And it was so far out in Texas, there was no lights around, and I was like, and I know during the winter in Texas, it's not a good time to try to get pictures of the Milky Way, but that's my bucket list photo. Like, I want to get that, you know. So I was like, oh, I'll try, you know. So I had my camera pointed directly up, and mind you, not like I'm pretty much ground zero where this plane crashed and two people passed away, you know. I'm at ground zero. I have my camera pointed up, like, I think it's like 180 degrees straight up to the sky. And I did a 30-second exposure, and I'm not even – I can send you the actual photo, like, with the original unedited photo. But I caught what looks like two shadow people on the right-hand side of that photo.
Nice.
Now, and, you know, there's been people like, oh, well, you know, it could have been somebody passing by the camera, this and that. I'm like,
right.
You know, yes, essentially, yes, it could have been that. But my camera's pointed straight up at the sky, you know, like, nobody's walking by my camera, like, if it's facing the North Star, you know what I mean? So with that being said, I really don't think the whole standards for, you know, ghost photography or apparition photography really even applies, because when people are like, oh, well, you need to check the EXIF data because, you know, that it's not standard. It's like, who sets that standard? You know what I mean?
Right.
And then at the same time, like, checking EXIF data for whether or not a photo is paranormal or not, it's kind of like checking a wave format to see if the EVP occurred. It's just not going to happen, you know?
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, oh, go ahead.
Go ahead. I was just going to say our team really doesn't follow the typical standards, because for the exact same reason. You know, we use the quote unquote standard equipment. We have EMFs, we have cameras, but we don't do things typical because everybody's done the same thing, and we want to break that because we already know what we can get with the equipment that we have. What can we get by doing different things?
Yeah, and that's another thing. It's like, if you're doing what everybody else is doing, then nothing is going to change and we're going to stay in the same spot, you know?
Exactly.
So I guess the point I was getting to with this whole the whole thing is, if you guys feel like y'all should start playing with the prolonged exposures, do it, because I don't know anybody that's doing it right now. And I'm the only other person that knows trying it out, you know what I mean? But also keep, like, if you're going to use it as documentation, like, have a camera facing your camera, and then have a camera facing away. That way people can kind of see what's going on around that, you know, camera. So that way, you know, if you catch something really cool, they can't be like, oh, well, you know, somebody could have ducked in and out really quick.
Right. And, I actually have the person on the team that wanted to do that. My team actually has weekly assignments for all its team members. So his is to write up a report on how we should do it, what the benefits are, the cons. And they have like 2-3-page reports weekly.
Oh, nice, nice.
So, yeah, I'm hard on my team. But it's, yeah, my husband just says in the background, slave driver.
Nice.
So, I've got it. Okay.
Oh, I was going to say, do you guys have, like, use, like, DSLR, like a Canon or Nikon, or?
Not yet. We want to. Our problem is that my team pays monthly dues, but we're trying to do that to actually get this convention going. And so we haven't been able to upgrade some of our equipment. We're really hoping to actually get a wide variety of cameras, from, as lame as it sounds, from Polaroid to some of those really, really nice $600-$700 pieces of equipment. Film and digital and stuff like that.
Cool.
So right now we just have the standard digital cameras. I believe one person has night vision, one person has UV, and so they're not super, super epic, but we try to actually figure out if there is an entity, what it may want. So the pictures will help if we catch stuff, but we can't rely on pictures so much anyway. So we're trying to explore the photography right now. We have a photographer that we work with and a videographer that we try and work with. They're not on the team, but they're more of a resource and stuff like that. But
Oh, okay, cool.
So, yeah, I believe that, like, when I do training with my team, I actually try to bring outside people. So if we're in the photography section of training, I try to bring an outside photographer.
Oh, yeah, I got you. Sweet.
Yeah.
Now, let's see. Have you done any experimentation on, like, say, instead of mounting your IR light to straight to your camera facing the same way your camera's facing, do more, like, mm-hmm. ambient IR? I don't know.
We haven't yet. I've heard of that because I'm still learning. My brain absorbs, but then it forgets.
Oh, yeah.
So that's actually on our list of equipment to get as an ambient.
Yeah, try it out. I mean, even if you, like, you have IR illuminators, obviously, but, instead of facing it in the same exact direction as your camera, just kind of tilt it off, like, you know, a couple degrees so it's not, you're not creating that spotlight effect in front of your camera. Because I've noticed
right.
that, especially with shadow people, that IR tends to drown them out. And so you're kind of negating what you're looking for, you know. And
right.
And,
I think the only IRs that we actually have pointing the cameras. So maybe we actually do ambient. We don't even realize it. I thought that, like I said, I try to absorb the electronical stuff, but my brain
yeah.
just says, yeah, no. I've got three tech geeks on my team that make sure I have everything and that I know how to use it properly. But as far as like
yeah.
the time stacks, I'm like, oh. But we do point our lights and everything away, except
yeah,
for
yeah.
the CCTV cameras that we have that point at each other. And
oh,
I have
yeah,
noticed
yeah.
that does cause a glare.
Yeah, because a friend of mine sent me this photo, and this is what got me started on it. A friend of mine sent a video, and what was weird about it is, like, you see this shadow person, like, running across, like, what looked like a wall, you know? And then as soon as it hits the IR, like, it completely disappears for, like maybe 1 or 2 seconds, and it picks back up once it gets out of IR. I was like, what? It's like, so are we just drowning them out with light, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to take just a little bit of a break here for just, you know, 4, 5, 6 minutes. We will be right back with Sasha Hayden. This is Bowling for Soup. High school never ends.
So immature. And then when
What was that?
Well, I was adding reverb effect.
I like how our initials spell earn.
Right?
I just thought I'd throw that out there.
Hey, Jeff, just a quick update, since you're not watching the Super Bowl. It is now 31-28.
Who's winning?
Ravens by two.
31-28 and the Ravens are by two? You need to go back to math class.
By three. No, wait a minute. 31-29. I said 28. 29.
Okay. Now you're right. Now you're correct.
But considering it was 28-6, we got a game now.
I guess.
Just thought I would tell you, Jeff, since you don't like the Super Bowl, so I just thought I'd throw that out there before we get back into the paranormal.
Now, see, if the Texans were in the Super Bowl tonight, I wouldn't be here. Because I would be drunk and just celebrating. That's the only team I like.
Well, I foresee the future, and you'll probably be on every Super Bowl show until this show is off the air.
you know, just as a side note, as far as football, I don't like football, you know, but I really tried to give it the 100% chance it deserved, and then it hit me out of the blue one day. It's like, if I wanted to watch grown men chase a piece of pork, I'd move to a third world country.
my good friend and colleague, Jim Anderson, he hates football. And he once told me, he said, football is a homoerotic soap opera.
Wow.
Well,
We are talking with Sasha, and before the break, we were just talking about, you know, what they do on their investigations and equipment, and going back and forth on that. Now, I'm sure with the sun, you know, the different light times of day that the sun is up and down, it kind of either helps or hinders your investigating, doesn't it?
No, my team is pretty comfortable, and we've noticed that it actually doesn't hinder any of our investigations at all. And part of what we do when we do an interview is actually find the peak time that the client has their experiences. If it's at night, great, but if it's 11 o'clock in the afternoon on a Monday, then that's when we head in. So
right.
We've noticed that we've been pretty lucky and it hasn't affected it.
Yeah, well, you know, with investigating, activity is going to happen. A lot of times with clients we've dealt with, a lot of times there's activity going on during the day, you know, and, you know, the only thing that it can botch a little bit is you can't, obviously, if it's sunny out, you can't darken the house. Oh, you could, but your IR lights are almost useless and those type of things. But, you know, as far as investigating, that's pretty much standard. I know we've caught things. Crap, Martin saw a door open and close at Old South Pittsburgh Hospital. It was like 11 o'clock in the morning, wasn't it, Martin?
Yeah, it was cool and unexpected, and we took a 14-hour road trip. Like, I sat in a van for 14 hours with, like, four other sweaty dudes just to get to this hospital, you know? And then we get there, and, you know, I like to venture out, but I went and started setting stuff in my room, and I'm walking back, and then I get one more suitcase, and I get my recorder, and I turn my recorder on and put it inside my wrist strap. And as I'm going around the nurse's station, I hear what sounded like a door opening, and then I look to my right, and sure enough, this door I watched it open up on itself. You know, I was like, no way. I was like, it's 11 o'clock in the morning. So I went into that room, And I was checking it out because I was like, this has to be rigged. You know, there has to be something set up just for the wow factor. So I was checking the door. There was nothing wrong with the door. There's nothing special really going on with it. So I went to shut it. And when I shut it, I realized that the door was swollen, like almost like it had been real humid out recently, you know. So it was a little hard to shut it. So I finally got it to shut. And then I was like, cool. I was like, if it opens again, then I'll know for sure that it was not a person that did it. So I turned to walk away. And as I turned my back, I hear the door lock by itself. It's just, I was like, what? I was like, that's awesome.
Yeah. That is actually pretty cool.
Yeah, that was the beginning of like a whole almost 24 hours of just nonstop activity. It was pretty cool. Actually, that was we were on the third floor, and I think we were running a ghost box for a little bit, but Kevin's team and Jeff's team, they have a medium who's like a really, really gifted medium. And I was upstairs with him, and he was like, he goes, hey, man, he's like, about halfway down, I see a shadow person. I was like, you know what? And it was so dark up there. I was like, you know what? I'm going to walk down there until I run into it. I was like, you let me know when I should hit it. So I get about halfway down. And he's like, stop right there. He's like, you just got blocked out. I was like, dude, I don't see anything up here. He's like, that's interesting. Well, on my recorder, I picked up an EVP where it sounds like two people talking to each other. And one of them goes, I thought they weren't supposed to see us. And then Mike was like, that's interesting. And then another voice chimes in and is like, no, you're interesting. So something was reacting to, it was crazy. Something was reacting to the fact that Mike could even see the shadow people and I couldn't, you know. So it was crazy.
Yeah, I know that me being a medium as well, that I pick up a lot of EVPs, you'll actually hear me going, I just heard this. And sure enough, it's actually there on the EVPs, and those are the ones that we get that are a lot clearer. But I try to always put myself with the more scientific person because I am a medium that I try to split my team up between people who are believers and who are more scientific. It makes everything up a little bit better. So I always try to do that. And it is actually kind of fun for the team to actually see that happen because they knew they were there. They were listening very intently. They didn't hear anything. I said something, and then sure enough on the EVPs. So it's fun when that happens.
Yeah, it's crazy. Now, I know this sounds a little unfair, but I used to be like anti-medium, like big time. You know, like I was like, no, I was like, whatever. But I started realizing, especially with Mike from Unknown, he was like picking up on stuff that was like, I was like, what? How do you even know, man? But so I kind of gave it the second thought over, you know, and I was like, you know, maybe I was just hanging around the wrong people. And so now my kind of test is like if I go out and this person says that they're a medium, you know, if I catch more evidence because they're around, that's kind of like validation to me that they are a true medium, you know, because I've been out with a few people that say that they're, oh yeah, I'm the most powerful medium in the world. And you get out and you're like, it's on my recorder, is like dead quiet the whole night. I don't catch anything. But I know it's like a totally unfair assumption, but I just noticed that when I'm around legit mediums that I catch more evidence.
Yeah. And I think that is because we have a special connection to, you know, to the unknown, to the past ones, stuff like that. It's really hard for me to be able to tell people, you know, hey, I'm not here for a reading. I go, you know, I'm here to, you know, for this or that, but I have to tell you this because I've got somebody screaming in my ear.
Right.
I went to I sell body wraps. They're organic and stuff like that. And I went to a party. It's kind of like Avon or something like that. So I do that. And the person knew I was in the paranormal field. And they said, you know, hey, we might actually have something home for you to investigate. So I do my little party thing, and I, you know, I say, hey, you know, maybe we'll talk about it after the party or something like that, so I can separate it. And she showed me a picture of the girl after the party, and I actually ended up making her cry and her friend cry because I told them stuff with, you know, what the person passed of and something that only they knew, even a private conversation that even the friend didn't even know about. And I had them crying. I felt so bad.
Oh,
but,
wow.
Yeah, it's definitely interesting to see what happens during investigation. I've tried very hard to, if I do experience anything, to bring out the equipment, make sure that there's some kind of proof, if I can catch it, that
right,
what I'm experiencing isn't in my head. So.
Oh, definitely. You know, it's. Have you noticed when y'all are on investigations that you catch more EVPs when you're not doing the standard questions, you know, like you do on an EVP session? You know, it might just be you guys goofing off or having a conversation amongst yourselves about something, and these spirits, they chime in during your conversations. Have you noticed that on your investigations?
Not ours. Ours actually respond to questions, and but most of the time, at least from the lower 48, you people. I have noticed that most people that do catch their EVPs, they are, even when they're setting up, I mean, we set our recorders before we even walk in the house, specifically for that reason. And, but most of the time, you know, we do catch stuff when we're setting up, and we have caught stuff just chatting. Was that we went to the Anchorage Hotel and we did they were newer and they were chatting back and forth. They weren't asking questions. They were just chatting back and forth. And when they did ask questions, they weren't given a pause or anything like that. And then they said, all right, well, we've got to go. And you hear this. it was a good training tool going, this is why you don't do it. But I don't know if it's our team or whatnot, but most of ours actually come mostly during questions. My name was actually called on casual conversation, though. So it's, but most of them, yes, during questions for us.
Now, you might have to start an additional bullying type organization for Jeff, because he gets bullied by the spirits when we go to a location. I know one particular location, it was actually making fun of Jeff on the EVP recorder.
Oh, no, that spirit was a jerk.
So you may have to look into a bullying organization against spirits that bully.
I will get right on that. I'll put that on my to-do list.
We need to make one against Kevin, because Kevin bullies me by not giving me the things that I have deserved.
Oh, God.
<Uh-oh. laughs>
Oh, Lord.
Kevin has not yet bought me a tour bus, and I have earned one.
Oh, see, that's just not right.
I know, right?
Oh, man.
See, I might just have to start a page for that.
Yeah.
There you go.
Jeff was put in an awkward thing at the investigation. We were setting up, and that was when Joseph and Will got sick, so they couldn't come. And Will's the director of Unknown under me and also our tech guy. And so he normally helps me set up all the equipment at home base. And poor Jeff's never done it. And I gave him the job of taking our video cameras and putting the arms and the IR lights on them. Well, each one has a different IR light that goes to it and this, that, and another. And Jeff didn't know. So he was he was sitting there kind of fumbling through it, trying to figure out which ROI goes to which camera, and the Spirit, in a very sarcastic way, when he said, "Man, which light goes to this camera?" The Spirit goes, "Ah, shit."
You know, I tried to figure one out. It said, "Nope, try again."
Yeah.
Oh, that is, wow.
You noticed the next time we went there, that Spirit didn't try to do anything with me. I wasn't playing the next time.
Nice.
Even business.
That's right.
Yeah, and what's crazy, you know, that I have, what kind of going on what Martin said about the Spirit's commenting about somebody that could see them. We had gotten at that same location, we had gotten another EVP of two spirits talking to each other, and we were setting up a DVR camera on that floor, and the Spirit goes, "Where's the camera?" And the other Spirit goes, "Over there." And the first Spirit goes, "Okay, I'm out of here."
Oh, wow. That is nuts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They don't like being on film too much. Come to find out.
Yeah. But if we could just get one with, like, a neon sign that says, "I'm here, I'm really here," that just might help everybody.
Yeah, but then you would have all those people, you know, that would still be like, "That's fake."
This is true.
Ghosts don't have neon signs because I know. But no. No, what kind of cryptids do y'all have out there?
Wait, what kind of what?
Cryptids. Like cryptozoology.
Oh, cryptids.
Yeah.
Well, we call it the Lake Iliama Monster. It's kind of like our version of the Loch Ness Monster. We've got the Thunderbird. We've got obviously Bigfoot. And we've got stories of little people. We've got the Glacier Devil, which is our version of the Chupacabra.
Oh, nice.
And werewolves.
Yeah, I'm not coming to Alaska now.
And then a big thing up here, too, is spirits also causing you to be lost. So that's a big one, too.
Oh, man. Speaking of, I lived in New York for about 2 years, right? And I lived in almost like a rural country the first year, and it was my first time to see like 3-4 feet of snow, right? And I was like a little kid at the candy store, and I'm like, "We're gonna go run into the woods, you know? This is awesome." So I get out there, and I'm only about 100 yards from the house, but I get out there and I really realize how quickly one can become snow blind. And I was like, I was starting to panic. I was like, "Where's the house? I can't see it, you know." And it was just over a small hill, but you get out to a location where everything looks exactly the same, you get lost pretty quick.
Yeah, no, here the stories are is that the spirits, you know, if you do something you're not supposed to, or just in general,
mm-hmm.
there's different stories to be on what culture, et cetera, that actually will move signs or trees and stuff like that and cause you to be disoriented. So you end up getting lost in the woods and not being able to come back, period. And
that's
they keep you from returning home.
Now, it's been years, but I read this one thing. There's a place in Alaska where, like, mysterious lights will show up at night, and then people go try to check it out, and then they never come back. So,
you know, I haven't heard that one, actually. I've lived here for well over 20 years, and I haven't heard that one. I've heard of ghost towns here and ghost graveyards, but not ghost stairs.
Yeah.
I have to check that one out.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, obviously, I would not know the validity behind that, but I remember reading that, and I was like, man, this would be cool to check out. Of course, I'd probably be one of those people that would never come back, right?
I know. Yeah, no,
we have, like, ghost everything here, so it wouldn't surprise me. I just never really haven't heard of it yet, so I'm going to have to check into that because I have a team member that would actually probably enjoy that one.
Now, are the people in the communities up there in Alaska, are they more open to cryptozoology and the paranormal than, you know, maybe some of the states that are down here?
Well, we're kind of like a 50-50, at least from my experience. But it's an all-or-nothing kind of state, at least so I've seen. When I grew up, it was a huge no-no. So, like, that's, like I said, I was told that I had to, it was just coincidence, and I wasn't experiencing things. I didn't have any gifts. But those people that I felt didn't support me and stuff like that, half of them actually do now. And the mm-hmm. other half are like, yeah, no, even if they do exist, I don't want that stuff near me. And so that seems to be in my experience. Overall, it's pretty accepted. But you do come across those people that are like, yeah, no, you're the devil. Go away.
What's crazy about people that say, oh, no, you keep that stuff away from me, what they don't realize from our research is spirits are all around us, whether you know it or not.
Right. Yeah, and those people that say keep that stuff away, most of the time it's because, you know, they were raised. That's stuff that you just don't mess with. So it's like I said, it's a 50-50 state. I mean, there are some people that are like, you know, hey, I'm not into that, but I still love you type thing. So, but for the most part, it's 50-50 in the state. Either they think you're the cool, you know, you're the shit, and then the other ones are you're the devil, go away.
Yeah, pretty much. Same down here. I mean, especially with Jeff and them, they're like directly in the Bible Belt. But like, there's some areas up here I don't even talk about paranormal because they look at you crazy. You know, they're like, oh, are you know, you're busy chasing around them chicken footed demons. I'm like, really, man? That's not what it's about at all. But yeah, there's a lot of closed mindedness as far as paranormal when it comes to Texas. I'm pretty sure every state, but. Yeah, some people get really religious on you, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we lucked out. A lot of the businesses here absolutely love it because it's kind of a new-ish thing here. I mean, there's been paranormal teams here for a long time, but it's kind of a new thing for it to be kind of out and open in the last, like, 5 or so years. So the more it becomes popular, the easier it is to get into businesses and stuff like that. We actually have our own ghost tour in town.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Sweet.
We actually had a earthquake. It was in 1964. And we half the downtown went into the water. And lots of people lost their lives, et cetera. So it's lots of reasons up here. Bootleggers, you know, when alcohol wasn't allowed, and then you got all the native stuff, and we've had lots of serial killers, and I'm trying to think, gold mines as well. Gold mines are a big thing up here, too. So all that causes for a lot of paranormal stuff. And then we're a tourist town, so when the tourists come up, they like being able to advertise for it, most of them.
Yeah. That's crazy that a whole town got lost into the water. That'd be a little scary.
Well, it was most of downtown, but there was a town that actually had to move because of it. They actually literally had to move all the buildings and rebuild and stuff like that.
That's something you don't hear about every day.
Right, right. They actually have a park. It's called Earthquake Park, specifically for that.
Hmm.
That's crazy. I know in Jamaica, there was an earthquake that happened in Jamaica one time, and there was actually a city that sunk into the sand because of all the vibration. So, I mean,
wow.
Like, personally, I don't know what I would, you know, I don't want to experience any of it, but I'm pretty sure I'd rather drown in ice cold water than to not be able to come up in the sand.
Whew. Yeah, this earthquake was a 9.2.
Oh, man.
Wow.
Jesus.
Well, we're right on that fault line. So we've got lots of volcanoes and we've got lots of earthquakes. We get quite frequent 4 point earthquakes up to 6.
What?
My very first radio show that I did late last year, it was in November, so I had to say, hold on, guys, I might actually have to go. There's an earthquake. And I didn't know, but they didn't believe me. Jeff was actually shaking a little bit. But, yeah, it was while I was on air on my first radio show.
That's crazy. Like, yeah, sure thing, sure thing. We get it. That's crazy. I don't know. It's funny because I don't think I've ever heard of earthquakes happening in Alaska. I mean, but then
a lot
again,
of people don't.
Then again, I've never really known anybody from Alaska, so our resources are a little limited down here in the lower 48.
It's okay. We don't talk in front of your face about that.
Nice. Nice. So what are some of the things that you and your team are going to be doing this year?
Well, we're trying to get that paranormal conference going for the anti-bullying cause. And hopefully we'll be doing another Halloween event like last year. And we're going to be doing a lot of fundraising this year so that we can upgrade some of our equipment, fund some of the equipment that my mad scientist wants to make.
Oh, cool, cool. Now, I do have a few videos out there. I'm pretty sure we're friends on Facebook, so I'll send some links to you. But if you have somebody that likes to build stuff, I've made a couple of videos on how to build stuff, like, pretty easily. So, I mean, he doesn't need, like, a degree in electronics or anything.
Okay, cool. Yeah, no, he would love that. He actually doesn't have internet. And he literally lives out in the boonies. He is at least 10 miles away from the nearest electric pole. And
oh, wow.
His electric is run off a generator or a wood stove. He's got no internet.
See, Jeff, and you're complaining about a tour bus.
Right? I deserve a tour bus.
And this poor guy doesn't even have electricity.
Well,
and he's a paranormal investigator. You don't need a tour bus.
I know I don't need one, but I deserve one.
Well, we all deserve something, but we don't always get it.
Well, you see, you actually owe it to me, though.
Oh, man.
I allow you to
man.
My presence from time to time.
But the videos, yeah, I'm not really electronic savvy, but I actually I constructed a static detector watching Martin's video. So, yeah, I mean,
oh, cool.
Yeah, he's got some pretty cool stuff that he does. Martin, I forgot to tell you earlier in the show, I'll be field testing your ion generator again at Hotel Marshall this weekend.
Oh yeah, man. Sure. Just let me know as y'all go along with it, because I really want to know if even play a factor. Like,
yeah.
I'll go ahead and tell Sasha, because, I mean, we're interviewing her, obviously. I created something that we call Entity Storm, and basically what it does is it can fill up all, like, a whole house. I mean, this ion generator is, like, super strong. But then I also attached, like, a pretty strong EM pump to it. It's not the magnetic base. It's like it's basically use a pulsing circuit with it, you know. And
okay.
I think it goes. Kevin might be able to tell me, but it goes like 4 feet in every direction, right?
Man! When I went down to that MPS deal down in South Texas, and I hooked it up to put it in one of the buildings, and it filled the room. You could just feel the energy in the room. It ionized the air in that whole place, and we were getting some crazy activity going on after, I put it in there. So I want to. Yeah, I know that, you know, when we were at Hill House Manor and you were trying to get it to run, when you got it running, we stuck our head by it. Man, that thing can give you a headache quick.
Yeah. But basically, yeah, that thing. I have a love-hate relationship for that thing. But basically what it does is it creates the environment surrounding a thunderstorm. And, you know, minus the lightning, we have to be safe about it, right? But, every time we've used it, and every time we even used it at Old South. I remember on the third floor, like, we had it up there. We leave it up there for, like, an hour, and then I went upstairs, and I'm like, oh, man, something is off up here. Like, it creates the environment for you, and then before you know it, you're just like, it feels like energy or, you know, any type of activity that's going on is, like, 10 times stronger. So,
nice.
Yeah, I'll go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, Martin's come up with these small circuit EM pumps that he attaches to trigger objects and gotten some results that way with them.
Yeah.
I like trigger objects. My team in general really tries to use trigger objects as much as possible.
Yeah, I'll send you that video then, because it's like, you know, whatever trigger object you use, the circuit's so small, and you could just put it inside or, like, you know, on the outside somewhere. It pretty much, you have a trigger object that produces energy, and every time I've used one, I've gotten some pretty crazy results with it.
That's cool. We definitely have to try and do something like that up here. Although, if we already have ion stuff along with that,
yeah.
We might be able to,
yeah, you
might
got
able to have heat with us or something.
Oh,
exactly.
Yeah, sure.
You got a natural ion generator up there that y'all can study.
Yep. We have to be careful with EMF. Or not EMF. Yeah, well, EMFs a little bit, but EVPs. I don't know why I said EMFs. Because during the winter, it actually will speed up the EMFs or EVPs. Wow, I'm 0 for 2. It'll shrink the EMPs, so we have to be very careful. And we end up having to toss a lot of it out because we're editing any of the EVPs at all.
Right.
So, so it makes it really annoying during winter for EVPs because, you know, you've got something and you can slow it down and you'll hear it. But
mm-hmm.
You can't use as evidence because, or at least my team really stays away from editing anything. And if we do edit, it goes kind of into our personal thing instead of evidence that we claim. We just kind of use it as a file in case it's a repeated pattern.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, I would keep that. Like, but if you're keeping it as a personal document, more of a, you know, open public, that's even better. Because then you can, like you said, you can track changes or track, you know, what all's going on around that. That's pretty cool. I never even thought to think that atmospheric conditions can affect EVP in general. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it was actually, that idea was given to us by another team,
mm-hmm.
and we tested it. And because, you know, I listen to other people and their ideas, but before I use them for sure, say that that's right or that's wrong, we actually try to do it ourselves, and it's something that we've noticed as a pattern. So.
Right.
Oh, yeah. And that's one thing that we do as well is we share ideas back and forth. And our big thing this year, I'm actually doing a lecture about it at the ParaUnity Conference in March, is thinking outside the box of the paranormal because so many teams that are out there get in this pattern, or they're started for the wrong reasons, or they base what they do on what they see on television, and we're trying to develop some new things for other teams to try, and then be able to go back and compare the results to see if if they're getting the same type of results we are, or whatever it may be, because, you know, if you share back and forth amongst, because we're all in it, you know, for questions that we want answered, so why not share ideas back and forth and try to put these things to a test to try to advance our field instead of sitting on, oh, I got the greatest idea in the world. I'm going to keep it to myself because I'll make some money on it, or I'll get a TV show off of it, those kind of things. So, yeah, that's one thing I'm a big advocate of, is sharing stuff back and forth.
Right, and we try to do the same thing. I mean, we have some things that we don't try to share, but for the most part, our team really strongly believes that if you communicate with other teams, you'll more likely to advance, like you said. We have a team up in Fairbanks that we work with, and they actually came into town for a TV show. We did the TV show too, but they went to a location that we had already been to. And when we met, they had already done it. And sorry, my brain just shut down. And they said, oh, well, we did this place. And I go, oh, yeah, we've done that a couple times, too. He goes, well, did you do this room? I go, actually, yeah, I did do that room. And we actually established that a certain room there actually has pattern for breathing and whistling on a regular basis. And another room... we're personally looking at hearing children's voices on a regular basis. So, but
oh, wow.
Yeah, that's an advantage because we've established from at least two teams that that room has that specific pattern, and that's what it's going to take to be able to advance in the paranormal field, is to actually work together. Otherwise, you're not able to establish any patterns that are going to mean stuff to other people, because a team can do it, a team can establish patterns. But if you're doing it with other teams, that's just more validity.
Mm-hmm. So. That's awesome. That's cool to know that,
yeah,
you know, there's other teams out there that are working together to really unlock secrets of a location, you know?
Yeah, and a lot of it, which I'm guilty of myself, unfortunately. I'm not perfect. But it's a lot of, like, what was mentioned earlier. We want to be better. We want to get there first.
Mm-hmm.
And my team is better than your team because we've either been around longer, we have more databases, or we don't like what you're doing, so we're better. And I've been lucky to find three teams locally that have three out of four main teams that have been willing to try and work together at least to a certain degree. So
right, right.
It's nice.
That's cool. Yeah, it's just... Yeah, I kind of stopped sharing stuff on them. Really, you shouldn't even be sharing on Facebook, but that's why I stopped sharing stuff on Facebook, is because, you know, you put something out there, you think, like, you're like, I want to show these people this, and then before you know it, people try to shut you down on, you know, what you caught, and they want to tell you how it happened on an investigation. You're like, who wasn't even there, man? How do you know?
Exactly, and I would rather do that at an event.
Mm-hmm.
Than on Facebook, because at least here in Alaska, a lot of people use Facebook. They really do. But the way that Facebook has made it now, it's really not beneficial for us to even post it online, because it's not like it's going to do anything for likes.
Right, right.
Because you have to, like, people have to want to specifically check out your page on a regular basis in order for that to happen. And just because you had somebody like your page doesn't mean that it's a popular page or that you're a popular team. And so it's, yeah, so we've just avoided posting that. But, yeah, it opens so many doors to post stuff, and it sucks.
Mm-hmm.
And people will go after people just over an episode and say that they knew how it went down.
Yeah.
I was there, man. I was a fly on the wall. I promise.
Right, right. I think one of the most ridiculous things I've ever seen was somebody was trying to explain how you could, I mean, it's understandable, but somebody was saying, you know, how other people see lights in the woods and stuff like that. They're like, oh, well, you know, there's all like I think like 125 different types of bioluminescent mold, and some birds can actually eat this mold and they go flying through the woods. I'm like, really? That's kind of a stretch. Like, how many times have you seen
a bird eating light bulb?
Yeah, like eating like mold. That's a real like bioluminescent. I mean, like, you think about it. How many times have you seen a bird eating something that's glowing? First of all. And then on top of that, how many times have you seen birds flying through the woods at night? Like, not very often, you know?
Right. I mean, I can see them eating the bugs that go in the dark. I mean, we don't have any bugs up here, but I mean, I can see that. But, yeah, it would just have to line up perfectly on a regular basis.
Right, right.
Which could be a pattern of migration or, you know, whatever. But at one point you have to be like, really?
Yeah, you're like... Okay, that's kind of a stretch, man. Like, they come up with something at least feasible, you know?
Right.
So we kind of all settle on swamp gas nowadays.
This is true. We're men in black, and everybody just forgets the little laser lights.
Yeah, yeah.
Cool. Well, you have some... websites or anything that you want to promote?
Well, obviously the Paranormal Community Against Bullying has a Facebook. We also have a website. It's pcap.weebly.com, and we're actually trying to get nominations for our awards ceremony, and that'll be placed in October. And, you know, hey, you can like my fan page, too. Why not? It'll give me an ego boost for a couple hours anyway.
There you go.
So, other than that, I mean, our team is about to change its name. So, but right now it's Ghost Research, but it's going to be 8 Stars Paranormal. So, you can keep an eye out for that, too.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well, thanks so much for coming on the show, Shasta. I can't even speak now. And coming on the show and talking with us, it's been a pleasure talking to you about all of these things tonight.
Yeah, I was really honored to have you. And I really do apologize for getting ill the night before the show and having to go to the emergency room and stuff like that. So I really apologize because I know how inconvenient that is for a radio show.
No need to apologize for that. Something like that happens. Ain't nothing you can do about it.
That's why.
Yeah, for sure.
Cool. Well, thank you for coming on the show again, and hopefully maybe later in the year we'll have you on again.
That would be great. I will. Thank you guys very much.
Awesome.
All right. Well, you have a good night.
Okay. You too.
All right.
We'll talk to you later.
Oh, Lordy. And the week is over, or the weekend is over.
And Super Bowl update, because I'm just doing this to irritate Jeff. Baltimore wins 34-31. San Francisco drove down the field for trying to get the game-winning touchdown and went for it on fourth down from the 3 or 4 yard line and threw an incomplete pass. And Baltimore ended up taking a safety on the punt to run the clock down, and they ended up winning 34-31. So it was a close game after all.
I actually watched like the last minute or so.
Yeah.
Okay. I watched a grand total on this game of maybe about 4 minutes.
But that wraps up another year of football. For all you that don't like football, it is now officially over. And spring training for baseball is going to be kicking up soon. And then I'll have to put up with Jeff, listen to him about the Yankees for a while.
And the Astros. The Astros moved to the American League this year.
Well, good. Maybe they'll actually win now.
I'm not holding my breath, but I'm hopeful.
But, yeah, man, it was cool to talk to somebody from Alaska, that's a first for us, you know, and we've talked to several people in different states, but never Alaska. So that was great to talk with her about what they do up there, and also about, you know, the whole bullying thing. I think we've all had friends or colleagues in this field that have gone through this type of stuff.
Right.
Yeah. And I mean, it's pretty crazy that bullying that even exists, like, in places like Alaska. You don't think about it, you know what I mean? Like, they're an individual state, like, above Canada, or, you know, close off of Canada. You just don't expect bullying to happen in a place like Alaska. That'd be like, you know, people telling you that bullying happens in Hawaii, you know? But it's crazy to think that it's worldwide like that.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, I just hope that all of us can bring more awareness to the community, and not just the paranormal community, but, you know, bullying in general. I know Jeff teaches still, and it's still going on in our schools today. Mm-hmm. And it's sad. It really is, because 9 times out of 10, it's not really – I'm not going to take up for the kids in general, but they're not educated enough, or they don't have the parental guidance at home to steer them away from those type of things. And it's just a sad thing that our society has gotten to. And, you know, we need to get out of that, because that's just not how you can progress as a human race.
That's
absolutely not.
I kind of followed Dennis Leary when he talks about it. He said, you know, stuff like racism and bullying, that stuff is taught, you know. He's like, I have a 2-year-old kid. You know what that kid hates? Showers and naps.
Nice.
So, I mean, you know, that stuff is passed down, and it's kind of sad. You know, like, you'd figure somewhere along the way we'd break that cycle and, you know, start off, you know, all liking each other eventually. But I don't know, man. I'm going off on a tangent.
Well, on a little bit different note, one of my close personal friends, and, you know, I consider him like a brother to me, his name is John Nobles. He had a minor stroke over the weekend and is currently in the hospital over in the Dallas area, actually. And I just want to ask everybody to, you know, offer up, you know, the prayers and, you know, thoughts, you know, good thoughts, good vibes, good juju, all that for him. I actually spoke to him on the phone last night, and that's when I found out about it. He actually called and told me, and I wouldn't have known anything was wrong had he not told me something was wrong. So they're supposed to be doing more tests. They're supposed to have done some more tests on him today, and so I'm going to try to get hold of him tomorrow, see how he's okay. But just I want to ask everybody, you know, keep him, you know, in your thoughts and prayers. Hope that he has a speedy recovery.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Oh, yeah. And send some thoughts and prayers out to Joseph on our team, because
yes.
Over the weekend he lost a close friend of his to a car accident. I actually met, and Jeff met him too. He was actually at what we call the Fat Boy birthday party 2 years ago, I believe. And so, you know, just thoughts and prayers out to Joseph dealing with that. He's going to the funeral tomorrow. So.
Oh, man, this sucks.
Yeah. But other than that, I know next Sunday we have a good friend of ours, Martha Decker, that's going to be on the show.
Cool.
And,
cool.
Yeah, and we'll be talking, you know, she's in law enforcement and whatnot, and she's been, I know she's going to do a class at our conference on forensic-style investigating, right?
Nice.
And so we're going to talk about all that, and, you know, that's something you got to look into, you know. That's why I think a lot of the law enforcement folks are in the paranormal, because you can use what you learn in the law enforcement and apply it in the paranormal as far as how to go about finding evidence and, you know, with clients and whatnot.
Yeah, I actually had the pleasure of meeting Martha Decker in the Grant. There was a Granbury conference that went on one time,
mm-hmm.
and Jeremy Jones of Paranology, he asked me for, you know, to help him out. So me and him went out there, and her table was set up right next to us. So I got to talk to her for a good while. She's pretty cool. She's real knowledgeable too. She knows her stuff.
Oh yeah. Yeah, and I know Tuesday. We're actually having two guests on our show on Terrify Radio that are in the UK, and they're going to be on the show. They're part of what they call Ghost Hunting Extreme. We have Paul Green and Stephen Lambert. I'm going to try to get them on this show as well. One's a he calls himself the Psychic Biker. He's actually, you know, one of those dudes you would see riding a Harley down a road covered in tattoos, but he's also a psychic medium. And
cool.
So, yeah, and then his partner is a paranormal investigator, so that's why they're called extreme ghost hunting.
Nice.
You know, two different style people. So we're going to have them on Tuesday on Terrify Radio. So we're going to be interviewing some folks from across the world.
Nice.
Very cool. How come you never interview me?
Jeff, I know you, and I've known you for many, many years.
Mm-hmm.
Not too interesting.
Excuse me?
Oh, I had to get that in there.
You
now I feel
nice.
Good.
Just
my night is complete.
Just because you resemble the world doesn't mean you deserve to be interviewed.
Oh, you should.
Oh, man.
I was actually I said earlier that I had, you know, watched, you know, Rip Crew's investigation, you know, here in Gatesville last night, and I mentioned in the little chat room on Ustream that I was 37. And one of course, you know, I'm Facebook friends with, you know, most of these folks. They were like, man, I thought he was like 25.
Nice.
Oh, yeah.
No, they weren't talking about your looks being 25. They're talking about how you act.
Well, I would say I act a whole lot younger than 25.
Yeah, you're pretty mature. Oh, man. But yeah, that's what we got going on. We have a new co-host on Mondays. Matt is helping Brittany out on Into the Darkness, so he kind of has dual duties like myself. I was making fun of him the other night because we alternate. I'm on Sunday, then he's on Monday, then I'm on Tuesday, then he's on Wednesday.
Oh, nice.
So. But, yeah, so tune in tomorrow for Into the Darkness Radio with Brittany Johnson and Matt Mazarek of Chicago Paranormal. And then again, Tuesday's Terrify Radio, and it'll be myself and Jody Parks. So that's what we got going on. And next week on this show, Martha Decker will be joining us. So we'll have a great conversation with her. And Jeff Martin, we need to find somebody for the following weekend, February 17th. I haven't been able to get somebody booked for that yet.
Woo-hoo. Oh, February 17th is my birthday, man. So we got to find somebody special.
You need to take the night off and celebrate.
Yeah. I might call in like half belligerent.
What if we did this? What if we call Neil Sedaka and have him personally call in and sing Happy Birthday, Sweet 16 to Martin?
There you go.
If you can get that to happen, I'll definitely be on.
All right, guys. Well, everybody, hopefully have a great week, and we'll be back again next weekend.
Awesome. Have a good night, everybody.
And I guess I need to find a song to close us out with tonight. So we'll go with AC/DC. You shook me all night long.
Nice.